In 1993, two men, James Couzas and Barry Posner, surveyed thousands of people and performed more than 400 case studies asking this question: what are those characteristics most desired in a leader? And their book is called Credibility: How Leaders Gain It and Lose It, and Why People Demand It. Now, what quality of the leader do you think was mentioned most often and most frequently, more than any other, in their findings? What quality of the leader do you think was mentioned most often? Trust. He's close. Honesty and integrity. Makes sense, right? If you're going to follow someone, you're going to follow a man into battle, or a man in a business, or a mission. We want assurance that the leader can be trusted. Now, over the past year, man, we've talked about great models of integrity. Joseph comes to mind. Joseph. Abel. Noah is another. And today, men, we come to the last man mentioned by name in the Hall of Faith, Hebrews 11. And he turns out to be one of the greatest examples of all. Open your scriptures this morning to 1 Samuel, the 12th chapter. 1 Samuel. How many Sams do we have in the room? Any Sams this morning? Samuels? No, I thought we might have a Sam. But if your name is Sam, or you know somebody whose name is Sam, your namesake is one of the most credible leaders in the whole Bible. And you'll see that today. Now listen, a little background on chapter 12. A little background on this episode that I'm going to give you that kind of characterizes Samuel. Men, Samuel is a gift to God's people at that point in history, 3,000 years ago or so. And he came to God's people through the prayers of his mother, Hannah. You know the story. Hannah was without a child. She was barren, and in that culture, that's an anathema. And her rival kept making fun of her. And she pleaded with the Lord, "Lord, give me a son, and if you do, I will dedicate him to your service." The Lord hears her prayer. She has a baby, Samuel. She weans him, and then she brings him to the temple to work with Eli in the temple, the high priest. And you know that story. Hannah, she was so overwhelmed with joy when she was given this child that there's a great prayer in the first and second chapters of 1 Samuel. It's probably the prayer that Mary had in mind when she wrote her prayer when she knew that she would be the mother of Jesus Christ. It's a fantastic, rich story. If you don't read the Bible, you are depriving yourself of an incredible heritage. So anyway, gets real practice in this whole credibility thing and this whole honesty and integrity thing very early. He's just a child working with Eli in the next cell. Eli's up here, he's down the hall. He gets a dream at night, and Eli insists that he tell him what Samuel dreamt. Samuel is understandably reluctant to tell him that the Lord has shown him that because Eli's two sons are contemptible men, and because Eli has not restrained his children, the Lord is going to destroy these two boys. And that's what Samuel has to do with his boss. He has to tell him this. So he gets practice early in life. And as he matures, Samuel emerges as Israel's judge. And the way that worked at that time in history, the governmental structure that God had put in place was the judge. And Samuel is the last of the judges. They would go around and hold court in various oases and in walled cities, and they would arbitrate matters of business and land and family disputes. So obviously he was in a position to, he's in a very good position for what? For self-gain. Probably the biggest issue he has to deal with is the people's insistence that God would give them a king. They want a king. All the people around them have kings and they want a king. And he tries to warn them. Why do you want a leadership structure that defines itself by privilege and power? Things are working just fine. Of course, his position's a little threatened, but we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Now, have you been watching the PBS series on the Windsors on TV, all about the royal family in England? And in a way, you can see why people want a king. I mean, it's sort of fun. I mean, to see these golden carriages rolling out and to see the pomp and the circumstance, it's really rather fantastic. And people are like that. They like to put somebody else up on a pedestal. Anyway, Samuel listens to them. He goes to the Lord. He says, Lord, they want a king. The Lord says, okay, we'll give him a king. And that's where we are in this 12th chapter. Okay? So, here we go. 1 Samuel 12. Samuel said to all Israel, I have listened to everything you said to me and have set a king over you. I listened to you. He's a reasonable man. Now you have a king as your leader. So you got what you wanted. Here he is. And they found the biggest, strongest, handsomest, most charismatic guy in the whole country, Saul, and they parade him out. Here he is, okay? You got what you wanted. As for me, I am old and gray, and my sons are here with you. I have been your leader from my youth until this day. Watch this, man. Here I stand. Testify against me in the presence of the Lord and his anointed, being Saul. So he's standing there. He's going to pass the helm, right? Testify against me in the presence of the Lord and his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? From whose hand have I accepted a bribe to make me shut my eyes? If I have done any of these things, I will make it right. How does he define his leadership, men? How does he define it? Long term, we like to use the expression in our self-pride here, we like to use the term long-term, low pressure. Long-term, low pressure. No hype, credible, blue chip, built to last. How do you define your leadership? Man, he saw leadership as an opportunity to serve other people. Do you? Now, what is their response? Verse 4. You have not cheated or oppressed us, they replied. You have not taken anything from anyone's hand. Now, why is this so important to Samuel that he gets this established? Why is it? Does he just need a pat on the back? Why do you think this is so important to him that they They affirm that he has been a man of integrity and honesty. Why do you think it's so important to them? What is the key? Why is it key? Let's keep going here. Samuel said to them, "The Lord is witness against you, and also his anointed is witness this day that you have not found anything in my hand." He is witness, they said. Okay. He's going to talk to him. I'm talking to you, he's saying. Now you got to listen to me. Then Samuel said to the people, "It is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and brought your forefathers up out of Egypt. Now then, stand here because I am going to confront you with evidence before the Lord as to all the righteous acts performed by the Lord for you and your fathers." Men, credibility is our platform. He knows that if he is not credible, he will lose his ability to talk to them about God. Do you get the connection with us? Man, we live in a world, isn't it pathetic? We live in a world of illusion, of hype, of deceit, cooking the books, greed. But this world, men, still needs to hear the truth of God's love and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. They still need to hear it. But men, people can't hear if we're not honest and credible. What we are speaks so loud they can't hear a word we say. Years ago, I knew I was a marked man in a political system. I was the odd man out. It was very obvious. I can remember those days. Very painful. I was the odd man out. What do I do? My boss would not be honest with me. I tried to resolve, and I could tell it ain't going to work here. He was playing dirty tricks on me, and I didn't get it for a while. Should I fake it and spend my time shining up my resume and interviewing, which I think he was encouraging me to do? And I got along with the Lord. He whispered to me. Here's what he whispered to me. Stay credible. Work hard. Blow their minds. I was new in the faith. I can remember getting up every morning, and I had this paperback Bible. I would sit with the Lord, and the way he would speak to me is, this is what he would say to me. Maintain your integrity. And you can't do both right now. You got two little kids. You've got this difficult work. You cannot do that and stay credible. And he said to me, he whispered to me, "I'll take care of you." And he gave me the power. I don't know how I did it, because I was left out of all where the talking was going on. I was left out of all the important meetings. He gave me the power. To the day I got fired, he gave me the power to stay motivated. I could go on about that. And he said to me, "Remember, you work for me." You know, when you get saved at 36 years old and you've been a bum, you tend not to forget it, what it means to be saved of your sins. Remember now, Chris, you work for me. So I did work for him, and he did take care of me. Amen? We have men in this room this morning who are in charge of multi-million dollar businesses. Some of us share a little bit of overhead with other professionals. Not quite the rock. We're not carrying that rock around like some of the other guys in the room. Some of us are in charge of a pickup truck, and that's about it. Whatever, it makes no difference, men. In the ultimate sense, it makes no difference. But the challenge for every one of us here this morning is to manage our affairs with honesty. We've been talking about this a lot the last few weeks. It's just the way the Scripture is talking to us here, through these men. And if we are not credible, people will not listen to us. They will not hear the Lord. They will not hear the truth. And men, people need the truth today. Amen? Let's have prayer together this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by you. That is the truth. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Have a good time at your tables this morning.